You may have noticed that in the bulletin, the closing kind of refrain that David has chosen recently has been from a verse or two or from 4:11. It's one of my favorite, the words in 4:11. And I want to read that as our opening prayer, and then I'll pray from there. Would you focus with me on the words of hymn 4:11? The words are by John Ellerton. Dear Lord, shine upon us, thou upon us, Lord, true light of men today, and through the written word thy very self display, that so from hearts which burn with gazing on thy face, thy little ones may learn the wonders of thy grace. Breathe thou upon us, Lord, thy Spirit's living flame, that so with one accord our lips may tell thy name. Give thou the hearing ear, fix thou the wandering thought, that those we teach may hear the great things thou hast wrought. Speak thou for us, O Lord, in all we say of thee. According to thy word, let all our teaching be, that so thy lambs may know their own true shepherd's voice, where'er he leads them go, and in his love rejoice. Live thou within us, Lord. Thy mind and will be ours. Be thou beloved, adored, and served with all our powers, that so our lives may teach thy children what thou art. Our lives, you see, she's saying, our lives, that so that our lives may teach thy children what thou art, and plead by more than speech for thee with every heart. Lord, how sweet it is to be here in your house with my church family. I treasure the kinship we have in Christ. And I pray by your Spirit you will guide us this morning. Sweeten the hour with your truth. Would you affirm for us your strength, your concern, your support, your faithfulness to us, your children. What a work you have done in our lives. What a treasure you have given us that we don't deserve. How can we explain it? But that you are a loving Father who has extended to us sovereign grace that has met all the difference in our lives. On the day of our conversion and the rest of our days on this earth. You have given us the gift of saving faith. You have filled our lives with meaning and with purpose. You have given us perspective, your perspective, Lord, even as we come to understand your revealed will. That is the will that was revealed in your word. And how sweet it is to come to know you better and better, no matter how long we've been walking with you or how long you've been putting up with us. Lord, I pray that, yes, the teaching will be according to your word, and that we will emerge from this hour warmed by your truth, convicted by your laws, and raised up again, restored in the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen. I'm happy to substitute for David Barker, and as a starting point, I want to do a couple of let me find my, what did I do with it? Oh. So let me say again, it's great to be here with you. One of the lessons is how fragile our lives are, and how sweet the Lord's mercy is, and we are just, I walk around, sometimes I am overwhelmed when I come back from a ride or something. I'll say to Wendy, I just can't express how full and delighted I am at, to be able to ride my bike or to breathe fresh air or to take a walk, take a step without pain. Those kinds of things that, you see sick and hurting people all the time, Pam, and what do they want? They don't want a lot of money. They just want the pain to go away. And what has the Lord given us? The Lord has given us this wonder of healing. Healing. Can you imagine how wonderful that is, that a cut will heal, scrape will scab over, a bruise will disappear over time? That's the wonder of healing. But it's great to be here with you. In Matthew 6:9, Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer. He says, pray like this. He says, not these words, there's nothing magic about the words, but pray like this with my kind of vision and my kind of focus. Pray with my mindset to guide us and all of those things to guide us in prayer. And we're going to do the third petition now. The third petition is, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the third petition. The big point of all of this is to, we're not to focus as we pray on our petty, me first, this life preferences. That's small. We can pray those things, but he's urging us then to pray on the bigger picture. That is the big vision of God's plan for creation and his plan for us. That vision, that is God's purpose in creation, gives us direction and gives us motivation to our prayers so that we, and even it shapes our prayers, but it also shapes our daily decisions and the choices that we make as we live our lives. It teaches us to walk in step with God's plan for creation. And you remember, last week, David Barker said Psalm 110 outlines the Lord's plan for his creation. So walking in step with God's plan, praying it into reality even, is a high privilege. It's a wonderful thing. I remember when I look at him, Dennis Baxter, often opens his prayers with, Lord, what a privilege it is to come before. Now, I can tell you, I hear it. When do I hear it? I hear it when we're making lunch or supper at Calvary Baptist Church and we take a lunch break and Dennis always prays and he opens with, what a privilege it is. Isn't that, Pam? That's what we hear. It's a privilege. Now, John 6:16-40, it's not easy to walk in step with the Father, Jesus' agony in the garden. What does he say? And this is the key thing. I need to keep moving. He says, not my will, but whose? Thy will be done. And those are the phrases, that's the phrase that we're going to talk about this morning. So we wanted to pray to live in step with God's agenda, not with our own. So we want to pray in accordance with God's revealed plan. So what do? We look up, like I should have been doing when I was writing. We look up, we look around, and we look ahead. And all, if as long as we do, we're alert. In Vietnam, so when you got into country, they said, you stay alert, you stay alive. Alert and alive. That was the phrase, alert and alive. You see it everywhere. So we get to know Jesus better through the details he puts in our paths. We can think, I mean, he put quite a detail into my life on Thursday morning. But boy, look at what, I mean, I emerged from that with a deep, deep appreciation for who he is, what he has done for me, and what he promises. And do I want to be faithful to him? For sure. That's how I emerge from an experience like that. Okay, let's go to, I don't have the remote, so. From my notes, David has given us things to remember. God, or kind of little points of teaching. Our prayers to change, we use our prayers to change our selfish wills. And we just talked about that. Don't pray in a selfish way. Try to understand God's plan and pray in accordance with God's plan. And you know that He will protect you. You know that He will give you the clothing you need and the money you need and things like that. You know, like the sparrow. So lift your that's what they say. Lift your sights above that and pray. When we do, then we will be less selfish in our prayers. Pray always to the fullness of the triune God. I think I learned here, you can pray directly to the Holy Spirit. I love that because I learned it here. So incorporate the triune God in your prayers. The Lord's Prayer is separated just the way the Ten Commandments is an adoration and a petition segment, and we're in the petition segment. Prayer brings us closer to God. Absolutely it does. When we really pray, take time to pray, and I remember one of his points was, we don't pray a lot because it takes so much time. We have to make time, but just recognize it, folks, I'm talking about, just recognize it, David. It just takes time. Just get up a little earlier and pray. Psalm 110 shows us God's will for creation. Reluctance to pray is a sign of weak faith. Wendy and I usually have lunch after worship, and we go over the notes that we made in David's class and in the sermon. And I had written weak faith, and she had written no faith. So reluctance to pray, what a privilege it is to pray. Remember, Dennis reminds us of that all the time. It's what a privilege it is to come before you in prayer. And it's a wonderful, wonderful means of grace. Remember, it's one of the three means of grace. We pray keenly aware of the already, but not yet. It's that tension. We already are connected in Christ to eternity. We already, but it's not yet culminated. He hasn't come yet for the second time. We're still living here. We haven't died, and our souls haven't gone to Him. So it's already, but not yet. It's that tension, and you could say that's what gives rise to prayer, because it's already, we already have that glimpse of what it is going to be, and we get eager for it, and it's not there yet. And then we get frustrated with our lives here, this side of heaven. So in the third petition, it says, what is the third petition? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without any gainsaying, obey thy will, which alone is good, and with scripture references, that so everyone may carry out the duties of his office and calling. Here it is, as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Boy, wouldn't that be nice? But there alone is a prayer. Look at it. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Remember, does that sound like a definition of the kingdom of God? David Barker said, yeah. Remember, the kingdom of God has begun. It's building with every conversion. Remember? With every conversion, it gets larger. So that we, in the present time, we can experience the joy and the fullness of being connected to our Lord and Savior forever. So our life with Him forever has already begun. Isn't that reassuring? It's reassuring to me. That's a wonderful thought, that life eternal has already begun. Okay. Now, what I've done is taken the scriptures that G.I. Williamson, in this book, has suggested to guide our reading of the Lord's Day 49. And you'll find these scriptures here, Philippians 2, 12 to 18, and then the Colossians section. So we're going to work through those slowly and generally as guides then to how we are to receive God's Word. It is God's Word, how we receive it, what it means for us, and how it will guide us then as we pray and guide our understanding of the third petition. Therefore, my beloved, if you've always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation? Aren't we saved? Yes, we are, but we're still living on this earth. So we work it out. We enjoy it. We experiment with it. It takes us into new places. We learn new things with it. We're working it out, our salvation, with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling, yes, because it's such an awesome thing, this thing called salvation. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. I love that line. He motivates us. He shapes our wills. See that? I want to do things I didn't want to do before, but now I want to do them. He's shaping our wills. And He gives us to work for His good pleasure. He shapes that according to His good pleasure, according to His glory, really. It's going to bring us there. And then to work to His good pleasure. He gives us opportunity, and He gives us strength and wisdom to work this side of heaven, no matter what it is that we're doing. If we're just being a grandmother now, just being a grandmother, how hard is that? How wonderful is that? Or we're building a career in information technology, or we're building a career in international law, or we're building a career in landscape design, or we're teaching Bible study, or we're looking back on all the opportunities that the Lord has given us. I'm thinking to you, Bill, and how you've taken advantage of it and grown and been such an influence to so many people in during your working years. Praise God, and you've learned from it. And you're a different man now from what you were when you began. A lot better? A lot fatter. I wouldn't call you fat, Bill. Number 14, do all things without grumbling or disputing. They call it gainsaying. Okay. That you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That's what we're called to be doing. Holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, even if I'm to be poured out as a drink offering, even if I'm going to be dead in a short time. I'm glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Boy, if there's anything that characterizes a Christian's life, it's joy. It's peace. Even in the face of grief, Diana, it's joy. Colossians 3, 1 to 10. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are set above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. See, there's that theme again. When we pray, let's set our minds above. The short term, you can pray about that, but lift your eyes. Lift your mind. Stretch it to begin to see things and pray things from God's point of view. For you've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. There you go. Things like sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Of course, anything you covet, then you begin to worship that and cling to it, and you just can't get enough of it, and that's worship. So we put those away, put to death. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. Are Christians arrogant? True Christians are not arrogant. True Christians remember that they were just like them, the way Paul says. And the Lord showed mercy. And the Lord gave us forgiveness. And we are to do the same thing. We are to be humble. So that's the way. In these two you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones. Whew. God's chosen ones. Get that? How can that be? God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. How'd you like to live in a society like that? That's the kingdom of God. And as David Barker pointed out, it started. We're already a part of it. That's what's so sweet about coming apart from the world into a meeting of God's people. This is not the world. The world's out there. We're in the world, but right now we're apart from the world. And that is a sweet, sweet experience for us all. We thrive on it. And why people would just miss church to go to a Ravens game or an Orioles game? Do you know what that choice tells you, says about you? Boy. Or I just feel like going to the ocean. I'm going to get an early start, and I'm going to skip church. I say it that way because I was prone to it, kind of did it, but not now. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. That's what we're doing. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So these are other expressions of thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, David Barker does useful comparisons between the Heidelberg Catechism and the Westminster Standards. And remember, the Westminster Standards were written 85 years after the Heidelberg Catechism in the mid-1640s. What do we pray for in the third petition? In the third petition, which is, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven," we pray that God by His grace would make us able and willing to know, obey, and submit to His will in all things. Shouldn't that be easy for us? Yeah, but God, you don't have to do what I have to do now because of that committee meeting or the town council decision or that my neighbor who's doing stupid things with her property or what? Or my sinful child. We submit to His will in all things. What do you mean I need to correct my child or I need to start coming alongside my child in a new and important way? And for young parents out there, I'm looking at John, young parents like that, this is the time, buddy. This is the time to invest in your children, Nathan. Gus, forgive me, Gus, I couldn't recall your name. Gus, this is the time. You've got one, another one on the way. Are you ready for that second baby? Okay, as the angels do in heaven. So how do the angels do it in heaven? Willingly, quickly. Hey, and the angels in heaven, and one of G.I. Williamson's points is that the angels in heaven, the Lord of hosts, I learned it here, the Lord of hosts is a military image. That's a general with troops arrayed in front of him, troops ready to follow orders. That's who angels are. And they're chubby little naked babies, you know, sometimes that sit on your shoulder or something. And that's such a far cry from angels as we understand them to be. But angels there's a rank order, and that's one of the things he says. Okay, what do we pray for? This is the larger catechism. Remember, the shorter catechism, David said, that's for kids. The larger catechism is what? For grown-ups, okay? What do we pray for in the third petition? In the third petition, which is thy will be done, we acknowledge that by nature we and all men are not only utterly unable and unwilling to know and do the will of God. You see, unwilling. Remember, the Lord said He's going to shape our will so that we're not going to resist it anymore. We're going to want to do what He wants us to do. Unwilling to know and do the will of God, but prone to rebel against His word. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love, the Lord. Prone to rebel, that's who we are, to repine and murmur against His providence. I had to look up repine. You know what repine means? What's that? Moan or complain, yeah. It's, there's kind of a sweet sense of, I pine for my love who's so far away. I pine for, I long to do that, you know. So what it really, pine is related to the word pain, and it hurts so, it's so sweet that it hurts. You know, it's that kind of pining. And to repine means to double over. I mean, to pine and pine and pine and pine and pine. So repine, and it's a good Scrabble word, so if you want to tuck that away. Murmur against His providence. Complaining is exactly right. Nancy, we complain. We're so prone to complain. And wholly inclined to do the will of the flesh and of the devil. Okay, that's our nature. We pray that God would, by His Spirit, take away from ourselves and others all blindness, weakness, indisposedness, and perverseness of the heart. Desperately wicked above all things. Remember, David says, don't go by your heart. You can't trust your heart. And by His grace, make us able and willing to know, do, and submit to His will in all things. Thy will be done, and not mine. And with like humility, cheerfulness, faithfulness, diligence, zeal, sincerity, and constancy as the angels do in heaven. So did the Westminster Divines depend heavily on the, draw heavily from the Heidelberg Catechism? Yes, you can see it. And that's why David wants us to look at both documents. Okay, there the angels, I didn't bring it with me, but Bergdorf has a whole section on angels, and I haven't done an exhaustive study on angels, but they're not little naked babies. They're a military host. It's an army with rank structure, praising God day and night, sent forth now and then to minister to the saved. They serve as messengers. Individual angels make up larger bodies of angels. One of G.I. Williamson's points is that as we live in Christians, as Christians, we live as individuals, but we live as a part of something larger than ourselves. Call it the church. That we take group action. We're a part of people. We're part of movements that are larger than ourselves. And just as a soldier is a part of a unit larger than he himself is. Colossians 3, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service, as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Thy will be done, not mine. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, you are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me be gracious to other people. Let me anticipate their needs. Let me live not a self-centered life, but a life that's focused on pleasing the Lord by helping, by serving others. It's a wonderful vision and a wonderful command to us. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And let it start with me. That's really what it's saying, isn't it? And let it start with me. I have a responsibility here. No matter if I'm a father of young children, if I'm a grandmother, if I'm a grandfather, if I'm a student, if I'm a teacher, if I'm
a housewife, if I'm retired, if I'm a carpenter, if I'm an engineer, if I'm a consultant to parts of a larger company and gone all over the world, if I'm a physical coach, I'm looking at Margene, whatever we are, if I'm a teacher, if I'm a phlebotomist, aren't they the ones that draw blood?
Oh, yes, they are.
Yeah, okay. So in no matter what it is, we do it to the glory of God. We make the best, let our speech always be gracious. That's what I'm trying to say. Seasoned with salt, so you may know how you ought to answer each person. I want to close with David's. Compact way of describing our nature, which influences who we are and influences how we live. The fall meant Adam is not able not to sin. That's the only thing we can do, is to sin. The only thing we can do is sin. That's pretty bleak, huh? Wow. But Christians are renewed by the Holy Spirit and are able to sin. Sure, we're able to sin. We know that. Everybody in here knows that we're able to sin. But look what else. Now we're able to be restored. Where sin led to death, it still does. We know that sin, the punishment for that sin has been taken by our Savior, and we are convicted. We recognize when we sin, we are convicted by the Holy Spirit. We repent, we seek and receive forgiveness, and we are restored. That relationship is restored. Amen, says Sue Ann. I can read her lips. It's a wonderful truth. And that's what it is to live as a Christian, to live as a redeemed sinner, to live as a member of this church, to live in relationship to God the Father Almighty through His Son, Jesus Christ. I was going to say something else about that. Then that's the cycle that we're in. And so when we sin against others, we recognize it. A lot of times we recognize, we know we've done it. And then when you are sinned against, you certainly know it. And then when you recognize that, then it takes a little courage and you say, oh, I've sinned, would you forgive me? Or you say, you sinned, I'm really offended by that, and let me tell you why. And then you recognize, whoa, you're right. I really should not have said those things, and I hope you'll forgive me. That leads to a sweet, sweet reconciliation. I look back at the Mike and Stacy, and I think that little Seth, and how sweet it is. He knows the boundaries. He crosses the boundaries, he's in trouble, but inside the boundaries, he's safe. He crosses the boundary, he gets punished. But boy, he gets restored. I could point to anybody. Look at Dan Owens. That you come back in here and you, that sweet restoration. Remember, you're not to punish your children in anger. Let the anger pass. And then administer the punishment and say, you belong to me, and that's why we had to go through this. You know the rules. And boy, what a sweet reconciliation there is then. That child will sleep peacefully if he was fighting, taking a nap or whatever. He'll go out and he'll take the garbage out. Oh, he knows he's doing the right thing. Mom and Dad have told him. He hears it. He belongs to them. It's that kind of relationship. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful gift. So I'm looking at all the kids with parents with kids, even grown kids who've grown up fast. Okay. Oh, sorry. The coming of the kingdom, this was the theme last Thy Kingdom Come last week, means perfection in your sanctification. Remember, David said, now how does the kingdom, how is the kingdom built? Well, one conversion at a time, because then it begins. So it's not something far off, it's something in the present. It's something that everyone here has experienced and is experiencing and lives in the already, but not yet. And then finally, the coming of the kingdom means perfection in the corporate body of Christ. At one time, we will be complete. His church will be complete. And David reminds us of that all the time. When the church is complete, Christ will come again. And won't that be sweet? So, folks, remember, when you pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it begins with you. It begins with us. We see it and we embrace it. We support it. We encourage it right here at our church. And you have a responsibility. And it'll be a delight for you to do His will and not your own. That's where we get the greatest, deepest, and most long-lasting satisfaction is from doing His will. So, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And where there's rank, there's salutes. Okay, are there any comments? Okay, let me pray. Father, thank you for this time together. I pray, Holy Spirit, you will guide us along the path of righteousness. You will see that we, by and by, day by day, hour by hour even, depending on where we are and what we're doing, that we will come closer to the very image of Christ. Lord, we complain, we murmur, we repine about over the pace of our sanctification, but we know we are growing according to the schedule you have laid out for your people. We thank you for the blessing of this church. We thank you for the blessing that we receive from your word. And we thank you for the blessings we receive from the sacrament that will come during our worship service, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Lord, I pray your blessing on Pastor Barker and Janet as they enjoy some time off. Would you protect them as they travel, if they're traveling? Would you fill them with the assurance of the love of Christ and His faithfulness towards all of His people? And Lord, by your Spirit, would you guide us during the service of worship to come? Let us see things from your point of view. Let us have your vision. Let us lift our eyes above our near-term concerns. And let us begin to see things from your point of view. Let us begin to appreciate the depth of your sacrifice, its meaning, its power, and the difference it has made in our lives, the difference it makes and motivates. Oh, I'm so glad, Lord, that you work to shape our wills, to shape my will, so that I want to do your will more and more. Thank you for such a simple lesson of such a powerful truth. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.